All right, welcome to What Would Leland Do? Today we are talking with Dylan and Christian. Say hello, gentlemen.
The dynamic duo is in the house.
Yes, man.
The dynamic duo. Good. Today we're talking about law number 27 of the 48 Laws of Power. Totally random order, as you would expect. Create a cult is the law. So the law is create a cult. Why you should create a cult? To cultivate power. So the first thing that they said that jumped up, that came to mind, was you want to play on people. Like, people have this innate need to believe in something. And so you really want to play on that. And so the way you do that is you got to give them something to believe in. And I mean, essentially you could just make it up, right? Is that what you guys got from this chapter?
Yeah, offer a cause and be super vague, you know. It allows people to use their imagination is kind of what I got out of that.
Hold on.
Yeah, well, and the vaguer that you are, the more that they can write reality in their mind to match your cause, right? It's save the planet. Like, that's super vague. And so they might think that that means, you know, kill everybody that uses plastic straws, or like, but you can create a cult-like following because it's vague in general, right? Is that the point?
Yep. You could call it a Green New Deal. Nobody knows what it is.
It's like you can't shit on that one thing. Like, that's the first political people who have ever come up with something that's you know, that's basically every political thing that gets passed.
Yeah, no, actually what I was thinking about the entire time I was watching this video was like
politics.
Trump, politics, make America great again. Like, what does that mean? It means something different for everybody.
It's vague. Well, like, so this is why the 48 Laws of Power is such a good book to read, because once you understand the game that people are playing, it's like you can appreciate it and you can see that some people play it better than others. But if you don't know the rules and you don't know, like, they're all trying to create a cult, right? And they're all trying to do it by following these principles. Some are really good at it, and some have really good slogans, and some are really bad at it. And it makes it more fun, because politics is fun if you know the playbook, right? Football is not fun for people who don't understand different aspects of football. Baseball is a better example, right?
Yeah.
Baseball is not fun for people who don't understand baseball, but like, politics is the same thing, and power is the same thing. Isn't that right, Christian?
Yes.
So Christian actually hasn't read the article, so he's going to chime in from a total, doesn't know the 48 laws of power and why to create a cult. So feel free to jump in with any questions or thoughts. You probably know more than you think you do. So one of the things that they talk about is offering a cause, and he even says a new faith or like a new religion. So, and again, you're creating these from scratch. So, you know, if you wanted to build a cult or lead a cause, Christian, what might you create a cult about? Let's just create one on the spot. That's a good strategy. What's your
create
cult?
All right, here again, before we create a cult on the spot, let me just talk about cults just a little bit. Cause I feel like the reason it's a law of power is because if you can get someone to believe in something so much, then you control them, right? It's like, not to say anything against religion, but I mean, the religion's cultish, right? It's like, you believe in this thing, God, whatever, right? Most people do, I do. Then everything else kind of goes out the window, because if you believe there's a God, like, you have to believe certain things about life and the world and the afterlife and all that sort of stuff. So I feel like to gain maximum power, it's all about getting people to believe so much in something that then you can get them to do anything in the name of that thing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything you said. One of the things that I think he defines it, but one of the ways that power is defined is organized effort. And so if you can organize massive amounts of effort, which a cult would allow you to do that, right? You can get a group of passionate people that sort of do what you say. it allows you to, you know, go vote for me, right? That's a cult. Like, God, those people will go vote for you because they're cult-like following. So I think that it's another tool in terms of, like, organizing your effort so you can, like, kind of throw your power around. Power is one of those things that's super vague that you don't really understand how you can use it until there's a time to, you know, throw your weight behind it, so to speak. So
that brings up an interesting idea then. If we want to create organized effort behind something and we're going to create a cult in this moment, what do we want to create organized effort behind? Dylan, do you have any idea of what you want to throw organized effort behind?
I feel like my idea would be a little bit lame compared to something you'd come up with.
All right, well, should we get an idea from each of us? I don't have an idea at the moment. I'm trying to think.
So Dylan, for example, could create a cult around people who are just diehards about telling their story, right? People who want to go on stage and influence people. And he could create a following around that and then lead them to do things, right? Whatever that would be. Like business, you could obviously lead them to buy your products, or you could lead them to tell their story, or you could lead them to vote a certain way. If they follow your lead, then you can lead them wherever you want. You can lead them off of a cliff, right? But you could do that, right? It would be something, and you should be leading, right? You should have a cult around helping people become more successful speaking on stage. Or, you know, Christian, for example, might want a cult of, you know, people who are peeing at a urinal and decide to change their life and hire him to teach them to fall in love or, you know, become the type of character that women would be attracted to. A cult around that type of thing, a following.
So I think this would be an interesting challenge for us. Do you think we could create a cult around what you just talked about, right? The people wanting to help people tell their stories. Is that right? Is that what it was?
Well, Dylan could be. I mean, Dylan could, because he's the right person to lead that, probably.
Well, so the reason I'm saying that is if we could all work on that one specific thing, because really the idea behind a lot of things is telling your story, right? A successful business typically has an incredible story, right? With what you do, you're helping other people tell their story to, you know, sell their products. I want to tell my story and help other people learn social skills, which is in and of itself telling a story. So what can we do to get people so pumped up and to put all their effort behind telling stories?
Well, so if you give them a compelling vision to, you know, to follow, or a vague but full promise. So, do you have any vague but full promises? Change your life, speak on stage, right? That's pretty vague and pretty full.
Yeah.
Right? Grow your business by 10x. You'd probably do a list of people that we're all familiar with vague promises to created cults.
Yeah.
Tell your story, marry any woman.
There you go. Exactly. That's it. Dylan could help you create that. You guys have just created new wealth. You can speak on stage about it.
Make Chewbacca sounds attract birds.
Oh. Oh my goodness. So the reason that the creating a relationship or helping people fall in love won't work, and this is just me, is because a single guy and a married guy are different. So a married guy doesn't have time for anything. So once he's married, like, he's no longer a customer. He's married to the, so at that point the relationship might be over for that business. I could be wrong, right? You could definitely prove me wrong. So, but other ways to build a cult is to convince your following to make sacrifices to you. So,
yeah, I mean, one of the interesting points that he makes, though, too, is like to always emphasize the visual and sensual over the intellectual. So you know, to be able to see and feel that vision, even though it's vague, you can lead them to this place where they can see it and feel it, even if they don't exactly know how they might get there.
Well, yeah. So the good. So again, our current president is a master persuader, whether or not you like him. So if I was to address illegal immigration, I can say, you know, there's too much illegal immigration. That's an intellectual argument. Or I can say, build the wall, which is visual, and people can see a wall. And so if you're trying to make a point or to argue, it's easier to paint, like the visual sense overwhelms the brain. So whenever you're trying to make a point, like, hey, illegal immigration's bad, like it's costing our economy, blah, 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 whatever the argument is. But if you say build the wall, people are like, yeah, like I can see the wall. Like that would work. It's, you know, it's vague-ish, you know, because what is a wall like around all of the border? Is it a wall? Is it a fence? Like, it's the visual is really important. So anytime you hear somebody who uses visual persuasion, Russell's a good example, right? If you look at Russell Brunson for ClickFunnels, all of his little whiteboard drawings are all visual. Super. Look how simple this is. They go here. They go over here. Money goes in my bank account. Here's me with my money, like on my island in my private jet, right? It's literally that easy. But convincing people to make sacrifices to you. So Dylan, if you were to lead a cult or Christian, feel free, either of you guys, both of you guys, what type of sacrifices would you have your cult make to you?
Is this coinciding with the rituals, or is this where you're demanding the money?
I guess it could be both. If you like, so don't consider leading a cult evil, right?
Yeah.
Good thing, right? But what type of sacrifices might they make?
Money, well, I mean,
one, right? Yeah.
Yeah, money would be a sacrifice. Time. If you're looking to improve a skill, we're going to obviously make an ask to sacrifice time with the intent of improving in a certain skill set. Yeah, I mean, money and time kind of.
I'd probably have them sacrifice their beliefs around, you know, their associations. So, like, for mine, of course, right, we're talking about how to talk to women and date them and whatnot, and they probably have a certain mindset around what they should be doing and what they should be saying and how they should be treating them, and I want them to sacrifice that, you know, negative beliefs around, like, being a douche that helps because supposedly they think that gets women. And also makes them probably feel cool around their other guy dudes. And in order for them to hop onto my cult, they need to eliminate that belief, right? They have to sacrifice that and maybe move away from the kind of people they're hanging out with already.
Yeah, no, that's really good. Like psychological sacrifices. Women are not attracted to ABC, so stop doing ABC. Or even like building wealth. We've done podcast wealth, right? The things that build wealth are these things. The other things are not building wealth. So just being really clear about making sure that you're doing things that produce the outcome, right? It's weird because he kind of recommends being a charlatan, which I guess I get, because if you're going to lead a cult, like, you sort of have to be a charlatan. Like, you're selling, I mean, I guess you're leading a cult. I guess I don't know where I feel in terms of, like, morality on the idea of leading a cult.
Yeah, I definitely had some tension going on while I was watching the video. Like, basically, one of his things was, like, you need to place yourself as, you know, like almost like a god in their eyes.
Yeah, well, so we'll go in order. So we talked about visual over the sensual. but also... keeping them entertained through, like, fear or through, like, some movement, you know, so keeping them scared and united, because like, the problem with a cult is that they'll get bored, or they'll start thinking, and they'll be like, hey, this guy's like full of shit, so like we should go do something else. So you got to keep like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? What's the next thing that's always terrorizing or keeping, you know? And so, but you have to do it deliberately. And so,
so I'm curious, how do we talk about that in terms of like business and things of today versus, so like you were saying that lead a cult correctly, you have to be a charlatan, right? A fraud. And, but none of us want to do that, right? None of us want to be a fraud, of course. And, but then if we talk about like Russell, right, he doesn't believe he's a fraud. Can we twist this idea of creating a cult to be slightly less cult-like in that the only difference is that you don't have to be a fraud?
Yeah, well, I think the idea would be to be as authentic as possible. And so if you can do that and lead a cult, like that's awesome. But a lot of people can't do that. So if you're just trying to cultivate power, then this is sort of like the, I guess the hack, right? In a perfect world, you want to be authentic when you lead your following, because then it's way easier. I think society rewards people who are authentic.
So wait, I'm curious then, how can we be authentic and also do that back forth yanking like you were just talking about to keep them, you know, on the line and, you know, obsessed?
I mean, like that's the, if you, that would be the rub, I think. But I think that if you, I mean, if you have a genuine cause, you know, you can ping pong people back and forth between things. Because they can't always be focused on one thing. You can say, hey, go over here. Okay, that's good. Now go over here. Or that's getting better. Like, you just have to find something new. There's always something new, right?
So, but what is it that makes people do that, right? Because it's not just something new, right? Because I'm thinking about what my whole thing's all about, you know, social skills, picking up chicks, whatever. Is it something that where you talk about bedding them and then you go back to something like, no, it's good to be a caring boyfriend. And then like you just completely make it sideways and it's so drastic, or is it just that it's got to be new?
Well, if you're going to lead a cult, then you have to just always be leading them, keeping it going. And if you care about your customer, this is sort of what we're saying, right? If you're teaching them social skills and they want to have a fulfilling relationship, eventually they won't be your customer anymore. If you're teaching them to develop themselves more completely, then they would be your customer along for that journey, because part of that would be helping them get a girlfriend and helping them develop a relationship and then helping that relationship grow into something more. You know, there's like a distinction. But yeah, so I think like if you're leading a cult strategically or sort of with sinisterly, then you would follow these. But ideally, you would want to be as authentic as possible, but that doesn't mean that if you're authentic, you're capable of leading a cult. so let's go through the next one. So the next one's step number four is disguise your wealth, which is interesting. So how are people making their money who are leading cults? Are they making money from the thing that they're selling you, or are they making money from actually doing other work? Just being mindful of, or if you're leading a cult, don't tell people that you're making your money from them paying you. It's not good for them to know that. And then the fifth one was use an us versus them dynamic. So once you have like a big following, you want to basically, you know, it's us against the world, you know, type attitude. So you want to lead them with that. Who is against us? Who's the person who's trying to fight us, and how can we protect ourselves against them? You want to play that up, because that will, you know, stoke the fears, stoke the fires, keep the cult going, so to speak. Because the cult's always sort of like a fire that's dying, is kind of the messaging, right? Dylan, what other notes did you have?
I just, that's about all I had, but I just think it's interesting how it all plays out in real life, like what we're seeing right now. I mean, with with politics, I just keep going back to politics. That's where I see this thing playing out just perfectly.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's, you know, this book's really fun. I think the people who are intimidated by politics and hate them would have way more fun if they understood the rules of the game, right? Because it's like, oh, that's what he's doing. That's pretty fun. It's not as – but you also get a little bit worried when you see people that – it's like, okay, I see it for what it is, but these other people are being manipulated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that too is the easiest place to be kind of like a quote-unquote flip-flopper too and create that level of unpredictability that's necessary to keep people entertained. And that's why you're seeing, like, you know, people always say, Trump, you never know what he's going to do next. And that's why you just keep turning on the TV to see what he's doing next, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's helpful too, like down the road, if you're going to negotiate that, like, oh, this guy's actually crazy. He might actually do what he says. So, yeah, it's interesting. They all stack together and it becomes this giant skill stack. And once you see it for what it is, I don't know, it's fun. I appreciate it more because, you know, people who are playing the game, it's a game that they got to play. So,
and just his ability to, this kind of goes along with the us versus them, but gosh, what's the nickname that the Trump followers were given? Not the infidels, something else.
I haven't heard that.
No, you've heard it.
Swamp people?
No, it was basically like the deplorables. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah.
And he somehow convinced his following to just embrace it, you know, like owning the fact that they're deplorable for his cause.
Yeah, well, even that's like, I don't know. I mean, there's so much, like we were talking about persuasion previously, like there's pacing and leading and like how you use somebody who insults you, or even if, you know, yeah, there's so much of a science to using science. I guess it would be more of an art to using insults and momentum of media and words, language, deplorables, right? And even if you're going to lead a cult, right, you should have a word or a phrase that people can latch onto. Hope. you know, it's just everybody runs the same play over and over again. And so you start seeing it and it's like, oh, that's the play that you run if you want to win. And they're all running it and people run it. Some people run it better than others. Cool. That's, I mean, set up an us versus them dynamic. That was the last thing that I had. Any other notes that we want to say before we hop off?
I guess there was one too where it's be a prophet.
Yeah, I think so. That was also how to organize a religion. So one of the things that they talked about was organizing your following like a religion. And so you want to have like an infrastructure. So there are people at the bottom and there are people that are above them and above them and above them. So you create sort of a group where people, you can grow or move up in the organization. So it gives people something to look up to and to learn more, right?
Yeah. I think the kind of how I took that was like create this environment where you're able to somewhat predict the future, you know? So like how it plays out in religion is like, if you don't follow this set of rules, you're going to go to hell. So I'm predicting the future. And like, if you follow this set of instructions, you're going to go to hell. If you follow this set of values and laws, you'll get into heaven. And so that's a bit of like prophecy where you're foretelling the future based on future behavior.
Well, so the other points that they had just for organizing was, you know, you want to create a hierarchy, you want to demand money. And then the fifth part was what you were mentioning was like, you want to be a prophet. So present yourself as like the person at the top of the hierarchy who is sort of above the system, out of the system, special. And that's one of the things I know you said you take issue with. But yeah, so like leading a cult, I'm not sure that it's for everybody, but it's definitely a useful tool if you're trying to cultivate power and you want to lead a movement. I mean, it's just a bunch of weight. You can throw it however you want. But I also feel like it's a bunch of gasoline that you're like, you know, you're playing with fire and then it could easily blow back in your face.
Yeah, interesting you say like above the system or the structure, because that makes me think of like Hitler. You know, he was this advocating for the Aryan blonde hair, blue eyes. He wasn't. So it's like, how does a man pull that off?
Yeah. Well, he's used as an example in a lot of these, like, how to cultivate power stories. Obviously, he led a movement. So anything else that we want to talk about for creating a cult or leading a cult? Law number 27.
I want to jump on just talking about polarization and how that relates to, right, the us versus them and the leader part. Because when you have someone or something that everyone's like for or against, which then creates another, almost like a cult, but not really, another group that you guys are against, then there's this pushback. And people generally congregate together toward common causes. It's just how mankind is, right? If you have someone to fight against, then you have brothers in arms and you want to stick with them and, you know, back each other up. And I think what's interesting about that, though, is that if you can have a polarizing leader, then they can just, your cult-like followers can you defend you so zealously that alone can, you know, strengthen the cult, because, you know, they feel so strongly about you and who you are. So if other people call them crazy, they'll be like, no, you're crazy, and fight them and strengthen you even more.
Yeah. Again, it's also like, why create a cult? Why stir things up? I mean, I know, like, again, if you're trying to cultivate power, but it seems like the probability that it will backfire is, I don't know, near 100%. So maybe not, but I don't know. Start small would be my recommendation for those of you who are thinking of running cults. Start with one or two followers that are diehards and then grow it to more. If you can do one or two, then you could probably do 10 or 12, but don't try to lead 100 right off the bat. Or 1,000. Cool. That's all I have for law number 27. So let's wrap it up. I appreciate you guys very much. And law number 27, create a cult if you want to cultivate power.